So explain something to me here. What kind of relationship do you imagine us having if you already have a husband and a boyfriend?
I suppose mainly sexual.
Huh.
No, I'm sorry it didn't work out.
What not work out? I'm seeing her again on Thursday. Didn't you listen to the story?
Welcome to The One About Friends, the podcast that'll be there for you if you're there for it too. This week, we are here to review episode 6, The One with the Butt. I am Dando.
I am Nicola.
How are you, sweetheart? We're not as tired as we usually are because we've just come back from a holiday, haven't we? We went to Rye.
Speak for yourself. No, we had a really good time, actually.
Yeah, we did. We had a first family getaway to Rye, a little coastal town here in Victoria, Australia.
Yeah.
And it was nice just to finally get away from Geelong. I mean, Geelong's a nice place. It's nice to get away in a new environment, and the kids had a good time hanging out with each other, and it was lovely.
I think just getting away from the day-to-day, the chores and worrying about stuff, everything's fun on holiday.
Yep.
So apart from the last morning when we had to leave and do 5 days worth of dishes in 90 minutes, but it was fine.
And then we also took Jetty Pumbaa, the dog, our black Labrador, and he had a great time. Went to the beach. We saw him swim for the first time in a long time.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, there was some involuntary swimming in the pool.
Yeah, yeah, he jumped in the pool.
So jumped in and instantly regretted it.
I had to go in and rescue him. But he's not in the room with it. We've just kicked him back out of here because he's got a stinky bum, hasn't he?
I don't think the listeners need to know about that.
So he's been kicked out. But thank you guys once again for tuning in. And thank you to everyone who has rated and reviewed us on Apple Podcasts. And yeah, just a massive appreciation for you guys for tuning into the show. You guys are all absolute champions. But as I said, sweetheart, we are here to review The One with the Butt. The title was very intriguing to me. I had a pretty rough idea on whose butt it was going to be of all the friends. For some reason, I thought it was either going to be Ross's butt for something embarrassing.
Yes.
Or Joey. And it was Joey.
Yeah, for something. Well, I suppose it was sort of embarrassing too, wasn't it?
But he embarrassed himself, but yeah. We never actually got to see his butt. I'm assuming you're disappointed about that.
Well, I think you are more disappointed it wasn't Rachel's.
Yeah, that's true.
but anyway.
But yeah, so this story basically is that Joey's story is that he is given a card by his agent.
Actor.
Yeah, a struggling actor. And he gets Estelle, apparently who appeared in the show, but they cut her scene out.
Yes, I did read about that, actually. Yeah, that's right. It's on the DVD version or something.
Yeah, but we've watched the Netflix versions for these reviews. Maybe we should start using the Blu-ray so we get the full versions.
I'd be keen, yeah.
We should probably do that. But yeah, so Estelle gets him a gig as Al Pacino's butt, but he tries to act too much with his butt. It doesn't go too well, does it?
It's quite funny, yeah.
Monica tries to prove that she is a kook.
Yep.
She's not, though, at all.
No, absolutely not.
Depends on your definition of the word kook, though, I guess.
True. Not the band.
No. Good band, though.
Yeah.
Well, they had one good album, and they released a second one. Everyone went, eh,
it was kind of the anthem of our, 18-year-old self, though.
That album, it was the same era as the OC.
Yeah.
Because they had the song on, what was the song? Naive was the one that was on the OC, yeah. I believe. But, yeah, the Kooks, that takes me back. We should listen to the Kooks more often.
Yeah, we did. When we were first together, we listened to them.
Did we really? We went and saw them.
Yeah, we did that, too. That's right. Arctic Monkeys. Well, we haven't seen Arctic Monkeys, have we?
I've seen them live. I think it was before I met you. It was when their second album came out, which was like 2007, so.
Yeah. But a dream.
You saw them after we met at Glastonbury or whatever that festival is that you went to.
Oh, I went to Glastonbury. Did I see them in there? I probably did. Sounds about right. I don't know. I can't remember everybody that was there. Apart from Stevie Wonder, who was a headliner, which was amazing. But anyway.
Because I remember I put the new album on when you first came back and you're like, I don't like the new songs. I like the old songs.
Oh. Sounds exactly like me.
It's exactly how you talk as well.
Yeah, yes. Of course, you've nailed it.
But what did you think of The One with the Butt? Did you enjoy it?
I did. I thought there was a lot of genuine laughter in this episode. Mm. I think they really enjoyed some of the scenes where it might be they were cracking one-liners or I suppose they were taking the mickey out of each other, but or what's that, deprecating humour, kind of, or not, it wasn't
self-deprecating, but it's just,
I know.
In Australia, we say taking the piss.
Yeah, of course, yeah, taking the mickey.
Taking the mickey,
yeah.
I think we've said taking the piss on the four-finger discount, and the listener's like, what are you talking about?
Yes, not taking someone's urine.
Yes, yeah. Just tongue-in-cheek joking around
with each other. Yeah, but also they're so honest with each other. Mm. Like when Phoebe's like, oh, you know, when you see these beautiful women with these nothing guys, you could be one of those guys.
And he's not offended by it.
No, Chandler's like, yeah, how do I do that? Yeah. Like, you know? So I think there's, some great. And then when they're talking about, I mean, obviously all the butt jokes. I mean, gosh, I there was some real laughter in that room, I reckon. I know that I'm sure there were scripted one-liners.
It felt very scripted, very cliche. I watched it the opposite because we watched this back-to-back with Seinfeld, right? The Pen, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
And the difference between those two shows is very stark when you watch them back to back.
Yeah, of course. But I don't think I've ever thought they were the same.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Like, Seinfeld tries to feel natural. This is guys going, hey, my one-liner, and then your one-liner. They're funny, but just very different.
But I think my point is not that the one-liners were the gold. The gold was how well and how much fun they had with it, how well they delivered it and how much fun they had. Mm-hmm. I honestly just think there was genuine laughter. They just all enjoyed themselves, I think, in this episode. That's what I liked.
I think I agree the most the scene when they were taking the piss out of Monica.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I enjoyed that. That was one of my favorite bits because I see so much of her and you.
Yep.
Because that's exactly what Nicola would do.
Why would you buy that laundry detergent without the easy pour spout? I don't know. What's wrong with you?
But just the... I thought it looked better there. That's okay. But how about we just try and put it back where it was? That looks good too. Like, that's exactly like you.
I'm not even that polite anymore. I'm like, what the fuck did you touch this? It's mine. Or like, put it back. Or
I've learnt not to just touch anything in the house now. I don't bother cleaning the house anymore because I know Nicola likes to clean it the way she likes to clean it.
Nobody likes to clean. Why don't you just do better?
That's the
How's
thing.
That?
I do the dishes really poorly, and then next time Nicola goes, I'll just do it because I know what we've done right. And I'm like, oh, if you say so, if you must do it. I do the dishes, I'm lying.
You're a pig. You sometimes do the dishes, yeah, that's right. Yep.
Maybe you need to start giving more credit around here. I had to wash the dishes once in a month.
Yep. Well done for that.
Listeners, I'm joking.
Do you want a live divorce?
I do a lot more around the house. Not as much as Nicola, of course, because Nicola's the, what do you call yourself, a domestic goddess?
I think you'll find you call me that.
Yeah.
I just wear
Nicola's,
the crown, happily.
Nicola's the ultimate human being.
Thank
listeners,
you.
Listeners, just in case you're aware. But enough about that. So, yeah, the one with the bike, I really enjoyed it as well. I don't think it was my favourite of the lot so far. It definitely had its moments. I think the Monica moment might have been one of my favourite moments, just because it felt like you.
Yeah.
Like I was watching you and the way Ross is behaving. I know they're brother and sister.
Yeah.
That's how I am. I think I am Ross.
Yeah, I think you are. Yeah, although that's weird that I'm Monica and you're Ross. Yeah.
But I've got elements of Chandler in me as well.
So you're not a stud like Joey then, is that what you're saying?
Nothing, no. That's why I do podcasting and not videos.
Not butt doubling.
All right, so what was your favourite moment from the one with the butt? Besides the butt, which we didn't see.
Oh, damn it. Yeah, I know. I don't know. I think, like I said, I did enjoy a lot of the quips in this. Things like how they all snore when Ross talks about work.
Mm-hmm.
The little line about the vacuum attachments, you know, nobody knows what that's for, you know.
I wrote down, that's a Seinfeld moment right there.
Oh, right.
That's the kind of thing, it's a comment that means, has no bearing on the story, but it's just filler, but it's a conversation that I guarantee nearly every single person on this planet's had once in their life.
So, I don't know, I think they all had a lot. Again, that my favourite time was just watching them all have a good time. I think there was a lot of to and froing and enjoying. I think they all enjoyed. They looked like they enjoyed filming this, put it that way. My least favourite part probably is the opener, like seeing, you know, Joey being a silly place, seeing about.
That was good. And Rachel being supportive until the end. She's still supportive. That's one thing I will say about Friends is of all the shows we do here on the Four Finger Discount Network, we do Simpsons, South Park, Futurama, Seinfeld and Friends. So if you do enjoy the show and you want to show some support, you can become a Patreon of the show and get early access to all those shows and much, much more. But I think Friends is the one where all the characters seem to enjoy each other's company all the time. I know they get at each other occasionally, but...
Yeah, you know, well, they do. There's some fallings out, but not for long, put it this way. Everything's resolved by the end of the episode.
I know Ross and Rachel have their little tips now and then, but they are friends. Where Seinfeld, they're friends, but they also always at each other.
Yeah.
And Simpsons, they're at each other. It's just that a lot of comedy comes from being at each other. But I think the overall vibe of the
loving,
show...
There's some loving
humour
there,
too. Yeah, that's why Friends were so successful, is because you feel like you're friends with them.
Yeah.
Like they want to be your friends. I think it works well. But I really enjoyed Awful Playman.
I know, exactly. That's like, honest,
yeah.
Everyone else is like, gosh, how can we, you know, love him and tell him that he did good, but what can, okay, the lighting, you know, the, oh my God, you're in a play? You know, and then like Phoebe's like, when... You got a talent agency based on this play? Based on this play. Yeah. Like just the way she's like, oh, of course. So, you know, they try, but they're also humans. So I suppose they show the side of like, oh, my natural reaction is this, whoa, whoops, that's offensive. Let's scale it back and love my friend a bit more, you know, just, yeah.
I got here. This was a moment I actually paused because I was actually laughing a lot when she goes, ta-da. We grinning at each other like that.
I know.
Because I like it.
I thought that was good.
It was very funny. And it was Monica with the Ottoman. It was just very good.
Yeah.
Just, I just watched this going, this is so Nicola.
I've never said that in my life.
It's not a bad thing. No. There's one, she goes, that's unfair. That's not fair. I'm like, that's what you say.
Yeah, well, maybe because you're not fair. I'm with Monica on this one.
And being English, you've got to be fair. To be fair.
Yeah, Brendan likes to mock how one of our little idioms that we, is that the right word that we say?
Idiosyncrasies? I don't know. One of your little English things.
Well, to be fair, you know, Brendan's like, were you being unfair before? Or to be honest.
Look, to be honest, I'm like, well, could you please make sure you're always honest?
Yeah.
Five correct questions wins the game. The lightning round begins now.
All right, trivia for the one with the butt. What have you got for me?
Okay. When Joey was shooting the scene, you know, the one with the butt, mm-hmm. what was written on the cardboard box behind the director's head?
Oh, this was a mistake apparently, right? Yeah, it wasn't.
Could have been.
Monica's something?
Go on.
Monica's.
Exactly, we didn't see it. Yeah, it was hidden, but it was Monica's. Yeah, Monica's something.
I just said Monica's. Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, there was another word behind somebody, like a chair leg or something, I think. So well done.
But do you know who that guy was?
Oh,
James Burrow.
Burrows. Oh, yes, of course it was. Actually, you know, I knew he bloody looked familiar. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, a director, television director. Yeah, so he's most notable for working on Cheers as well, another one of my favourite sitcoms. But yes, that is James Burrows, famous director. My first question is, Chandler was telling Aurora, that's her name, Aurora?
Aurora. Aurora, I think. I don't know, like. Mm-hmm.
He once rode the subway all the way to where?
Brooklyn.
Yes.
Just for the hell of it.
Remember that time you got us lost in New York because you didn't listen to me?
No, we got to where exactly where I meant to.
That was a day. Not only did we buy tickets from a dodgy guy, but then we caught the wrong subway.
Well, no, that's right, because I think we thought we were on a different line or like, but it, oh no, it was a weekend.
Day. Wrong colour. Yeah, we were like, wrong colour.
Maybe like weekdays it stopped there and then weekends it didn't. So we went about, I don't know, 10 blocks the wrong way past the, it was for Monk's restaurant. Well, what's it called?
It was on 112. Tom's restaurant. 112, I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what, actually, yeah, Seinfeld, that's what we were looking for.
Yeah.
And so we walked, I think it was through like, is it Harlem? The top of New York City.
Yeah, we walked down the street and everyone was looking at us going, you're not from here, are you?
No, you like, don't
belong. No, we are not. No.
No.
Good day to you, sir.
Okay, so in Chandler's room, on the left-hand side of the room, there is a basketball ring. What is it? What does it double as?
The basketball ring?
Mm.
I thought they had that over their bin. Did it not have that over their bin?
No.
At some point? No? Okay, what was it? What's the answer?
It was a laundry basket.
Laundry basket, damn
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so there was like a lining in the ring, you know, it wasn't the basketball ring, wasn't over a laundry basket. It was the laundry basket.
Oh, so they threw it in.
That was cool. I thought Elliot might like that one day.
It's a fun idea, yeah.
I know.
I like that idea.
I'll find out where they got it from.
The theory on monogamy, the thesis or whatever it was, was by who?
Richard Leakey.
Is that one of your questions?
Yes. Anthropologically speaking, yeah.
Well, hit me with your last question then.
In the penultimate scene, when they're all gathered in the lounge room, but when Monica left her shoes, mm-hmm. you know, what were they eating out of the bowl?
Ooh, I'm just going to guess popcorn.
Yeah.
That's right? Okay, good. Just seems the thing that you eat out of a bowl at night time.
Why did I say bowl? I should have said, what were they eating? And then left, silly me. I'll give you too many clues.
You do. My final question is, I'm just making this up because I realised I didn't write it down.
Oh.
What was the name of the last boyfriend, like her new boyfriend, that Chandler breaks up with Aurora as a result?
Oh, yes, Andrew.
I thought it was Rick.
No, Rick was the
You're
husband.
Right, it is Andrew, yes.
Ethan was the first boyfriend, then Chandler, then Andrew. Of course I'm right. What the hell is wrong with you? Why would you question me? Have
well
I
done.
Been wrong yet?
No, I don't think you have.
Could
no.
I be any more wrong?
Yes, I think you've ever got a question wrong. So that is trivia for the one with the butt. We'll be right back after this short break with our in-depth review. If you're a fan of everything we do here at The One About Friends, you can support the show on Patreon, where not only will you get early ad-free access to the show, but you also get access to hours of bonus podcasts, access to our exclusive Facebook community, and so much more. So join the One About Friends family today at patreon.com/fourfingerdiscount. Link is in the description of this podcast. The original air date of The One with the Butt was October 27th, 1994. It was written by Adam Chase and Ira Ungerleider and directed by Arlene Sanford. The episode kicks off with them all at the play. They're all waiting for Joey's play, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Freud. I love Phoebe's. Freud!
Yeah, the exclamation mark scares me.
It makes it very anxious, yeah. Yes. It's about to begin. Rachel's the only one that's excited, though, because she's never been to one of his shows before. They know what to expect. I like the element of Rachel. She's like, she's out of support. I'm like, what are you guys talking about?
Yeah, I know.
It's exciting. And then he sings, "All I Want Is a Dingle," which apparently appears two or three more times in like clip shows or something.
Yes, I think it does. Yeah, when we're looking back at Joey's career and things like that. Yeah, yeah.
Funny song.
Yeah, it is a bit.
Very
what
short.
What you envy is a schwang. Yeah.
All you want is a dingo. What you envy is a schwang. A thing through which you can tinkle or play with or simply let hang.
The episode kicks off with the play, which is now over, and the friends are all thankful that it's finished, so thank God.
They're all exhausted.
Was it Rachel says, I feel violated or something along those lines?
One of them said that.
She was supportive, and now she's just like, oh, what the hell was that? Chandler then notices this beautiful woman at 10 o'clock, and Ross does not understand.
8, 9, 10 o'clock.
So if someone said at 10 o'clock, would you immediately look that way? Like, do you understand the concept of looking at a certain time?
I understand absolutely the concept, but I would probably need like a nudge. You know, if someone nudged me secretly and sort of they head gestured, you know, 10 o'clock, I'd know what they were talking about. But if someone just said, Nicola, 10 o'clock, I'd be like, is it? You know, like I would. I'd be checking the watch.
Listen, she just checked her watch.
I did. I'm not wearing a watch and I'm wearing a jumper over my wrist. So none of that was...
You need to fix your Fitbit, by the way.
I can't fix it. I need a new watch.
I thought you were going to buy one. Why didn't you buy one?
I'm gonna. I'm window shopping. And by windows, I mean the browser history on my phone. I need to know if it's waterproof, if it's going to be good enough.
I don't think anything made after 2015 isn't waterproof.
Well, I don't want to risk it if I'm paying like $300 for
it. That's true. It's fair enough. Monica suggests that he goes over there and talks to Aurora. We don't know her name yet, but go talk to this beautiful
woman. She's a human.
Yeah, he can't do it. She says here, she's not with anybody. Now I've got, yeah, is that good logic? Like if someone is with me, if I was sitting there by myself and two girls, well, I know, funny, right? Thought I was good looking. But, and one of them said, he's by himself. He must be alone. Go talk to him.
Mm.
Is that the kind of logic you should be basing it off?
Because he's sitting by himself. Why not? You're not there. What they're saying is,
I guess once you find out,
you could identify and say, sorry, folks, I'm married. But
and then it's time to leave.
Yeah. But like, you know, and if you were already obviously with me, back off, bitches, right? So if you were with me, then you would never, you cannot approach someone that's with their partner, right? So yeah, they're figuring, oh, he's alone here. Let's take our chances.
I'd actually, listeners, if you ever see me with Nicola out in a nightclub, please approach me because I want to see Nicola say, back off, bitches.
I didn't say it in an American way.
I want to see you get all tough.
Well, I, you know.
Would you say back off? Is that what you reckon you'd say?
Well, it depends what someone was saying, but probably not if someone said hello. I'd be like, hi, who are you? Hi, you know, I'm not a horrible person. But, you know, or like if someone was like getting up in my grill, I'd be like, yo, back off. I say back off to Elliot all the time.
Do you?
Well, he gets up in Holly's face. I'm like, yo, back off. I don't say yo, that's a lie. I'm like, Elliot, okay, back up now. Okay, that's enough.
You do say that.
Yeah, soft hands. I say, fuck my life. All I say all day, soft hands, stop grabbing Holly. Don't push your sister. She didn't like that.
Holly, hands out of the toilet.
Oh, God, that too. Bloody curious kitten.
Chandler says here, could she be any more out of my league? Mm. I was like, is this the first time, maybe it's the first time in my memory that it stood out as a Chandlerism?
Yeah, possibly.
It's like it's now his thing. I thought, it's only the sixth episode and he's already got that little element to his character.
Yeah, it could just be, for sure. Because they're going to be finding their flows as characters by this time. Yeah.
It's still not anywhere near the Friends that it becomes. It's still funny, but you watch this going, this is still very early Friends.
Yes, of course, yeah.
She's amazing. She makes the women I dream about look like short, fat, bald men.
Well, go over to her. She's not with anyone.
Oh, yeah, right. And what would my opening line be? Excuse me.
Come on. She's a person. You can do it.
Oh, please. Could she be more out of my league? Ross, back me up here.
He can never get a woman like that in a million years.
Thank you, buddy.
You always see these really beautiful women with these really nothing guys. You could be one of those guys. You could do that.
Thank
you. Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like there would be occasion where people look at us together and go, how did he do that?
Oh, you're so full of it.
No, they 100% would.
No, they wouldn't. You're silly. I mean, we're both hot shit, but you know.
Are we?
No, but I think you're gorgeous. Like, I wouldn't.
I'm glad you think that.
Yeah, but like, why would I marry someone that isn't good looking, you know?
That's the question they're all asking. How did he do it? Chandler eventually does go over there.
Yep.
And he's very awkwardly asked her out. He gets it out there and he's like, I'm out of here. You know?
Yeah, I've said hello, hi, that'll be my name, Chandler, but, you know, kind of, yeah.
I thought this was very relatable. Like, I had zero confidence talking to girls, which is why I couldn't believe I was confident talking to you. I think I was just like, I'm just not letting this one get away. I was chatting you up.
Well, what? I don't even remember our first conversations of chatting me up. What?
Well, it was me talking about being on the radio and you didn't believe
me.
Oh,
yeah, that's right. The whole tattoo scenario. Yeah, I recall vaguely.
The tattoo scenario, a story for another day if you don't listen to one of our other podcasts. She calls him back though. She says, Chandler, come back. Chandler.
Yeah, Chandler.
This is where Joey comes out and everyone talks him up. You know, I couldn't believe you could dance. That's great. Now, what do you think of the play? I didn't know you could dance.
Yeah, I know. Then, the Chandler, lighting was great.
Chandler, just the awful play, man. Whoa.
Yeah.
That's the whoa that gets me. I thought it was great.
Oh, listen. The usher gave me this to give to you.
What is it?
The Estelle Leonard Talent Agency. What? Wow, an agency left me its card. Maybe they want to sign me.
Based on this play? Based on this play.
We're now at Central Perk and Chandler enters after his big first date with Aurora.
Yeah.
And Phoebe, do you know Phoebe, notice she was reading Monica's hand there.
Yeah, that's right. It was something like, and this line means you'll have a long and successful life. And then I was like, this is just a line or something, yeah.
It reminds me of that time you once had a friend who was reading my hand. I was just like, no, I don't believe any of this shit.
No, yeah. That person's an ex-friend now, so it's
yeah,
fine.
That's right, yeah.
She went very weird.
Looked very much like Aurora.
She did look a bit like Aurora.
Yeah. Wacky like Aurora.
She wasn't Italian, though, and was not in the Israeli army as far as I know. But, yeah.
But I just got here. Phoebe didn't really have much to do this episode, but they still slot her into spots in throughout the episodes where she's very Phoebe, like reading the hands and that kind of thing. Chandler begins to explain his date. And this is where we find out that Aurora is actually in several other relationships as well as being married. I thought the way Chandler handled this was realistic in the sense that at first it'd be cool.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you go, no, I like this person now. I want to be the only one.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
This is exactly how it would go down.
Yeah.
For me, I could not date somebody knowing they were dating somebody else, even though that person was okay with that.
And it depends what you want from the relationship, though. You know, yeah, if you're, I mean, obviously we know this is for sitcom purposes, but, you know, oh, you get all the good stuff, just the sex, you know, or just the fun, the talking sex, you know, no responsibility of relationships, I suppose.
Mm.
But, like you say, it wears pretty thin pretty quick.
The more you hang out with somebody, the more you like them.
Yeah, and I think that's also, I don't know, from not that I've had a lot of experience, but it feels like most of the time, from what we know, just friends with benefits or that sort of relationship, casual relationships do not work. Somebody gets hurt because somebody gets more feelings than the other person, unless that's not what you both want. You know what I mean? I think it's, if you're both going, okay, well, I'm looking for, you know, a partner, me too, and it doesn't work out, then fine, because you're not meant to be. But I think if you're both going in just having all the fun parts, just the sex, you know, and then Chandler's getting more and more feelings and she's still so casual, someone gets hurt, you know.
If the person up front says to you they don't want a serious relationship and you think you can change them into thinking they do want one, don't do that, because that very rarely works either.
Of course, yeah. I mean, look, but then again, if you're in for a few months of fun sex and then you're going to get hurt and you don't care that you're going to get hurt, then go for it.
I like to hear Chandler, so you're widowed, hopefully.
Yeah, I know, exactly. That was funny, yeah.
So she basically, the relationship that she wants with Chandler is mainly sexual.
Mm-hmm.
And Monica's like, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that, blah, blah, blah. Did you listen to what I was just saying? I'm seeing her again next Thursday. That was going to be one of my trivia questions, actually. When's he seeing her again next?
Seeing
her again on Thursday. And this is, he explains, you know, he's getting all the fun stuff, no responsibility. It's every guy's fantasy. Ross, once again, backs him up.
Yeah.
Joey then needs to go, he explains that he needs to go with somebody he knows he's dating more people than that person.
Yes, yeah.
And Ross explains monogamy.
And they all snore.
He's a very boring person, Ross, up to this point in the show.
He's a bland person.
He's passionate. Or is he just the most normal person on the show? The most average person?
Yeah. Do you know what, though? He's got knowledge. He's got professional. He's got passion. And he wants to share it.
I think Ross is the guy that everyone wants to eventually end up with. Because Chandler would get annoying to a lot of people. You know what you're getting with Ross. He's successful in what he does.
Yeah, I think he's...
If you're settling down, you know what you're getting. It's comfort.
Yeah, and I think that he is what he is throughout. You know, his career is very important to him. His, you know, his knowledge, and like I say, what he's passionate about, you know, it's important to him. His knowledge and what he's learned about the past, that is important to him. That's what makes him, that's his bread and butter. That's what makes him tick. So I think that the fact he wants to talk about it is very normal, even though his friends tease him, I know. But that's ingrained from day one through to the last episode, like that doesn't change. He's can be a little bit negative because he can be fixated on, you know,
he worries about things he shouldn't worry about.
Yeah, Exactly. He's the obsessive. more serious. Yeah, serious as well. Like, and yeah, like he can be that he's not seeing the fun side of things, because people, if they were less worrisome, you know, they might just look on the bright side. I feel like that's the element in me. I do think that's exactly right. I'm a little less worrisome and I just tend to be like, oh, whatever.
And I try to say, yeah, but I'm a realist and I can and see also, where this is going.
You can see Holly's climbing on the table and I'm like, well, if she falls, she'll learn. And Brendan's like, no.
How about we prevent an egg on her head?
Jokes. I didn't put that egg on her head, by the way. If anyone's seen the update, Holly has her first egg on her head. It wasn't me. It was daycare. So
what update? Did you put it on social media?
Well, just on my Instagram. I don't think any of these people see it. I didn't know if you put it in the group, though. You could have.
No.
I've got a beautiful photo of a shining little round head egg on her head.
Oh, poor Holly.
I know. It's much better today, though. So nobody worry. She's all good.
Ta-da!
Are we greeting each other this way now? Because I like that.
Rachel has tidied up the room. She moved things around. And we get the discussion here about the attachment with bristles.
Yeah.
What are they
for? It's shit. Honestly, I tried to put it in the car the other day.
What is it actually for, though? What is it actually for?
I read up, it's something like it does, I don't know, furnishings like sofas or fabric sofas or something weird, I don't know. But basically, the bristles prevent the suction from being good, because the bristles get in the way. Like, you need that suction to go all the way through. But the bristles let the air escape.
But there must be a reason for them. There must be something that they're...
I think you need to ring Dyson and find out.
Yeah, let us know, listeners, as well.
Anyone work for Dyson? Want to send me a free one and tell me what to do with
the bristles?
The one with the bristles?
Friendsmailbag@gmail.com. If you do have a question for us, please send them through, just a message, and we will read them out on the next episode of The One About Friends.
Funny thing, though, by the way, literally vacuums used to have like four attachments. I don't know, like, I mean, when I was vacuuming as like a 15-year-old doing my chores, there was like different like small flat ones with like, I don't even know, like velvety kind of strips, you know, and then there was like the actual main one, and then there was a little like, I know there's always the small, narrow, pointy sort of one.
Yeah.
But now you only get two with a vacuum, the silly one with bristles and the one we actually use, which is the pointy one.
Don't you get the round one anymore?
The round one with bristles.
Oh, is it just,
get the long, thin one, you know, for your gaps.
But I thought our old one had one that was long and thin and it was just long and round as well. We're talking about vacuum pieces here.
What the fuck are you talking about here? See, this is how much Brendan vacuums. He doesn't know shit.
I vacuum all the time because you bought the right vacuum again.
Yeah, right. He doesn't use the attachments then, put it that way.
No, I do not. But anyway, so yeah, Rachel's moved the shit around in the apartment.
How dare she?
Monica is not a fan of this at all. What's the green ottoman doing over there?
Oh, I see you moved the green ottoman. Uh-oh. How did that happen?
I don't know. I thought it looked better there. And also it's an extra seat around the coffee table.
Yeah, it's interesting. But you know what? Just for fun, let's see what it looked like in the old spot. Just to compare. Let's see. Ha! Well, it looks good there too. Let's just leave it there for a while.
Can't believe you tried to move the green ottoman.
Thank God you didn't try to fan out the magazines. I mean, she'll scratch your eyes right out.
Guys, I am not that bad.
Yeah, you are, Monica. Remember when I lived with you? You were like a little, you know...
That is so unfair.
Oh, come on. When we were kids, yours was the only raggedy Ann doll that wasn't raggedy.
Okay, so I'm responsible. I'm organized, but... Hey, I can be a kook.
All right, you madcap gal. Try to imagine this. The phone bill arrives, but you don't pay it right away.
Why not?
Because you're a kook. Instead, you wait until they send you a notice.
I could do that.
Okay. Then you... Let me go grocery shopping, and I buy laundry detergent, but it's not the one with the easy pour spout.
Why would someone do that? One might wonder.
Someone's left a glass on the coffee table. There's no coaster. It's a cold drink. It's a hot day. Little beads of condensation are inching their way closer and closer to the surface of the wood.
Stop it! Oh, my God. It's true. Who am I?
Monica, your mom.
She's actually her mom.
And then I was going to say, I've written that exact same thing. I was like, yep, me too.
Yeah.
And I'm quite happy to be my mum, by the way. Mum, if you're listening, I love you lots.
Yeah, your mum's awesome.
Thank you.
Joey then enters with a brick phone. Do you see the size of that phone?
Oh, I didn't. And I know the one you mean now you've said it, but yeah, I hadn't really. Yeah, it's
a very 1994 phone.
I was going to say, with the times.
Look, entering someone else, I guess the apartments are just across the track from each other, so it doesn't really matter, but like he's in someone else's house talking on his phone. That would have been such a novel
concept. Is it not his mobile phone though? Like one of the first mobiles?
Is it meant to be his mobile?
Or is it supposed to be like...
But I don't think he was rich enough to have a mobile phone because that would have been expensive in 1994, right? A cell phone?
Anyway. Or, yeah, just a brick home phone.
But he enters and he explains that his agent's got him a job in the new Al Pacino movie, and he starts quoting various quotes from Al Pacino films, from Godfather and... Oh, what was the courtroom one? Oh, I can't remember.
And Justice for All?
That's the one, yes. Well done.
But can I tell you,
yeah?
It's not the right quote.
No, it's people misquote it all the time, yeah.
And this whole trial is out of order is what they actually say. Yeah, I did my homework a little bit.
But it's like when people say, Luke, I am your father. That's not the quote.
Oh, what is it?
It's, Obi-Wan told me you murdered my father. That's what Luke says. And he goes, no, I am your father. Not Luke, I am your father.
Oh, okay.
It just sounds better. Luke, I am your father. It's like, No, that's not what happens.
Okay.
But it's similar.
A review of Star Wars to come.
I play Al Pacino's butt. All right? He goes into the shower and then I'm his butt.
Oh, my God.
Come on, you guys. This is a real movie, and Al Pacino's in it, and that's big.
Oh, no, it's terrific. It's you know, you deserve this. After all your years of struggling, you've finally been able to crack your way into show business.
Okay, fine, make jokes. I don't care. This is a big break for me.
No, you're right. You're right, it is.
Yeah.
So you're going to invite us all to the big opening?
Joey enters the apartment after the commercial break, and he needs some moisturizer for the big day.
That's Monica right.
says, don't ever tell me what you do with it. Just go do what you have to do. Chandler goes in there and she says, don't go in. He screams at my eyes. Apparently that's what Phoebe screams when she sees them doing it.
When she sees, Ross and, Chandler and Monica through the window doing
Yes,
it.
Yes, okay.
Right. Yeah, that was a little throwback for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, not a throwback. That was the first time.
Oh, so no, that's what that I'm saying. Yeah, Phoebe was throwing it back to that.
Rachel walks out. Who the hell's being so loud? And Chandler, he wants all food. He's going to make Aurora some breakfast.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he had to stay over. Because they got like a pretty blokesy apartment. You would have thought that you'd be like, no, don't come to my apartment. Let's just stay. I guess that's where her husband would be though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, hell no. I'm not staying in this chick's apartment where I know she's, got her other boyfriends and husbands lying around.
Yeah, not good. Yeah. But unfortunately, he's showing a little bit of resentment towards the other partners, Ethan. I mean, it's understandable. I mean, he shouldn't be this way. He knew what he's getting himself into, but it's very natural to be going,
yeah, of course it is. I know. Yeah. I know.
And as he's walking out, now the old Monica will remind you to scrub the Teflon pan with a plastic brush.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, like every time.
You do this.
Brendan cooks anything in my pan, like any, like cooks a chicken, I say my pan, the pan.
No, and did you hear that, listeners? The natural response just came out.
Look, I bought
like when I say
things.
It's my TV and you go, your TV, is it?
Yeah, well, okay, I'll accept that. I like to watch your TV. But the pans that I bought this
just
one time.
Just so you know, it's our TV.
Thank you. The pans are ours too, sweetheart, so learn how to treat them nicely.
I never scratched them. The thing is, though, you discussed earlier how you're the one that's like, let's just see how things go. And you're like, I'm the realist, right? Yet when it comes to cooking, I don't scratch the pans, but you're just like, just in case you scratch it. You worry about scratching a pan, but you don't care about your daughter climbing a table.
I was joking. Of course I care. I don't let her climb the table, really.
You do sometimes.
I remove the chairs and then she can't. That's a good parenting step. Remove the chair. She can't climb then. Then she can't fall.
There are times that where you go, just relax, babe.
Yeah.
But if I said to you, when I had that metal tongs in your frying pan, just relax, you'd kill me.
Okay. So my point is, guys, he cooks these chicken schnitzels, okay? And then he gets a steak knife and starts cutting them to see if they're cooked.
What else am I supposed to cut them with?
Take them out. I don't know, but just don't do that. Not with that knife.
Hear the disdain in the voice.
I'm trying to keep myself together and not hit you.
Chandler, you know, the old Monica would remind you to scrub that Teflon pan with a plastic brush. But I'm not going to do that.
We're now at the audition. And apparently where he says, hire the girl, was cut out on the DVD or in the DVD, because it was in this version as well.
It was, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, there's apparently something to do
with
on the...
I don't know who it had anything to do with. I don't know.
Yeah, it was just filling time, I guess. Yeah. But it's, he thanks James, or the director, for the opportunity. Yeah. Lose the robe. And we can clearly see in the shadow that he's wearing board shorts.
We absolutely can, yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised that I guess they didn't notice when they were filming it. Because you can't watch that in post-editing.
Wouldn't you just wear like tight Speedos or something? Yeah,
wear something. But yeah, he's obviously wearing big board shorts, but that's fine. And he's just not doing well during this, is he? He just keeps clenching. Yeah. Action. Cut. He wants to bring
overacting.
He wants to bring too much to the role. You know, and
he wants to put all the emotion into his bum.
And it makes sense because this is his first big break. I guess he just kind of feels like he has to do something special to stand out. He's going for quiet desperation. But if you have to ask, I guess it's not working. Chandler is now with Aurora and he's explaining how much he loves those fingers. Not hers, his. The thing is, these two seem to get along well, but I feel like she's the kind of person who they seem to manipulative. She seems like a bit of a manipulative person.
Oh, I don't think she'd have to work too hard to get what she wants. So I don't think she's very manipulative.
Yeah, I guess not.
I think she's just a really open person.
Yeah. And
I think
she doesn't
need to try.
Yeah, here's the thing. So guys think she's being manipulative and stuff. I've fallen for it as a viewer, as a person, right? So those are the Chandler coming at me. Well, no, she's just being honest and upfront from the beginning.
Yeah.
And he doesn't like her for the fact that she's doing this. It's like she's in the wrong now.
Yeah, she hasn't changed.
She hasn't changed, but he's just now, his opinion on the situation has changed. He's at fault, not her, because she's done nothing wrong.
Because she didn't need him. I'm sure she would have found someone else.
He approached her.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense. I mean, I can see it from both sides. Mm. Yeah. I guess neither of them done anything wrong, but Chandler's more in the wrong.
No, it just didn't work out. It's not even anybody has to be wrong.
No, that's wrong.
Chandler just grew to want more from her than she was willing to give.
Yeah, because she brings up Andrew, and he's new.
Mm-hmm.
And he explains, so you're not completely fulfilled with the three of... I like how he goes, I know. Three guys like us.
Yeah, I know. Now he's on the same team as the husband and Ethan, that's right.
Chandler suggests that she dates only him, and she's just not having that at all.
Yeah.
She just wants the fun, laugh, make love without the commitment. And until tonight, that's what I thought you wanted too. And then...
Sorry, are you talking to me or...?
You have me.
No, just you.
What do you mean?
Lose the other guys.
Like, all of them?
Come on. We're great together. Why not?
Why can't we just have what we have now? Why can't we just talk and laugh and make love without feeling obligated to one another? And up until tonight, I thought that's what you wanted too.
Well, you know, part of me wants that, but it's like I'm two guys, you know? I mean, one guy's saying, shut up, this is great! But there's this other guy. Actually, it's the guy who wells up every time the Grinch's heart grows three sizes and breaks that measuring device. And he's saying, you know, this is too hard. Get out, get out!
So, which one of the two guys will you listen to?
I don't know. I have to listen to both of them. They don't exactly let each other finish.
Which one?
The second guy.
Felt sorry for Chandler here because I know a part of him thought he was going to be able to convince her. And this is like I mentioned earlier. You can't change somebody.
There's always, this is someone's, that's ended up with more feelings and they're the ones that are going to get hurt.
He gives her one last kiss because the first guy controls her lips, which I thought was quite funny.
I know.
And he's annoyed with himself still because he didn't want to let it go, but I think he did the right thing for himself.
Yeah.
Ross then explains that, don't worry, dude, like, you dumped her. You know, she's unbelievably sexy, beautiful, intelligent, unattainable. Why did you do this again? And Joey then enters, and he should be happy because he's been acting in the Al Pacino film, but he's sad because he got fired for acting too much. Before that, though, what happened, big guy?
Yeah, I know. Felt like a big guy moment.
Disappointed because he, he's told everyone, including his mum, and you're like, don't worry, it's an ass. No one's going to know the difference, but his mum will. And I feel like mums would know for some reason. Oh, maybe not when you're an adult, though.
I know. I fucking hope your mum doesn't know.
Me, though, because there's a tattoo on my ass.
Well, okay, fair enough.
Do you want to explain what the tattoo is?
Not really.
It's Nicholas' face, Nicholas.
It bloody isn't. Clearly, this is the same tattoo he had the day we met, so believe me, it's not my face.
Basically, I was part of a radio show called The Michael and Dando Show, and we posted a thing out on Facebook saying, if this gets 1,000 likes in the next hour, Dando will get the logo tattooed on his ass. Not thinking it would actually happen. Took about 15 minutes.
I think it was 25 likes, guys, but yeah, sure.
I made sure it was a lot. And yes, so that didn't end up well. But anyway, and you asked me recently, am I going to get it removed? Or do you want me
I want you to do something over. Well, how can you get it removed? You'll end up with like weird coloured, you know what it's like when you get a tattoo removed.
Why? Do you just not like it there?
Well, it's not relevant anymore.
It's a part of my life.
Well, all right, put me on it.
Like, that's the reason I'm doing podcasts in that show.
Just change it, you know, like turn it into something else.
You're trying to change me now, are you?
Sorry, this coming, by the way, the first time I
can
saw it.
Can you change the tramp stamp that you got, please? Can you fix that monstrosity that you designed when you were 15?
I'm not finished. To be fair, it hasn't got anyone else's name on it. But anyway, my point being...
It's not an M.
It's got a fucking N in the middle for Nicola. No.
Mine hasn't.
It's M and a D, yes. For the Michael and Dando show. That's another man's name on your bum. Anyway, listeners, again, to my surprise, the first time I saw Brendan shirtless, he's got another name, you know, scrawn across his chest area, his nipula area.
My heart.
Cross your hearts. How sentimental and beautiful. The name says Stacey Jean. I'm like, who the fuck is this bitch?
And I'm like, I think I said, I don't know her anymore. And your face was the best.
Sounds about right.
You literally weren't happy when I said that.
Turns out it's his sister. So
yeah, it's my sister.
I happen to love her a lot, so it's fine.
Who's Stacey? I was like, it doesn't matter.
So you're not funny.
It was funny at the time.
Yeah, right.
It was good.
It's not funny when it's at my expense.
Anyway, but yeah, so Ross does the whole big guy thing. He explains how his mum's going to know what he's asked. Blah, blah, blah. Phoebe reassures him. Yeah, I like this about Phoebe. Don't worry. Big things are coming for you. I can feel it. I can sense it. You just keep sticking at it and you will get there.
Yeah.
And someday there'll be a kid out there who says, I'm Joey Tribbiani's ass.
I love that. Yeah.
And everyone has a big hug and they're all happy. And then Monica says she's off to bed, but unfortunately she leaves her shoes sprawled across the floor. Was it casually strewn about in a reckless, haphazard manner? And she says, nope. Even though she
thinks about it, yeah, she pauses.
Even though she really wants to pick those shoes up, she doesn't because she is a kook. We then get the end credit scene and Monica's laying in bed awake, just contemplating.
Torturing herself.
Yeah, do I go get these shoes? Do I not? Maybe I can go get them and put them back early in the morning. And she needs help.
She realizes that's not necessarily normal. Yeah.
No, it's not. But yeah, I think they're really...
I'm not that bad. Like, I'm happy to leave my shoes strewn about, believe me.
But you can't have the... Recently, you've improved. The volume being on an odd number, whether you've known or not. Like tonight, we watched the entire manifest on 19.
Oh, I didn't know that. Mm. I wasn't looking.
You was like, it was fine. You survived.
Yeah, I did. No, I don't think I'm at, okay. I'm probably
not
as
comfortable now.
I'm not as strict about it because having children, you think, look, if it's being, you know, 15 or 16, and like, you know, you can hear it on 15, but you won't wake the children. I'll take it. You know.
Yeah.
So I'm a little bit more flexible, I think.
But the one with the butt, very enjoyable episode. Not the best by any means, but it's certainly starting to flesh out the characters more. It's probably the best Joey episode we've had to date, I reckon.
Well, yeah, exactly. We get to see
focus
a bit more about
career.
What he's about. That's right.
It's a very
Joey-centric
episode. And Chandler's becoming Chandler. Monica's becoming Monica. I don't think Rachel really had much to do in this episode.
Rachel and Phoebe, even Ross didn't really...
I was there to sort of just be the
supporting little,
filling the gaps with some quips and whatnot.
Tidbits.
Yep. But yeah, a fun episode.
Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan, they get mail and stuff.
All right, it is now time for some friends' mailbag. And we posted our Patreon group asking for some questions about the episode. And this first one comes from Elizabeth Brun. She says, what foreign accent do you think is the sexiest? Did you think my accent was sexy when you met me?
Oh, it's not sexy, but it wouldn't be something I'd go, oh my God, Aussie men, like your accent. So I love the Irish accent, me.
Irish.
Yeah, that's probably my favourite. And yeah, definitely like sexy too, I reckon. As long as it's a good looking man doing it.
English accent was probably the sexiest for me, but you've lost your accent a bit now.
Oh.
You still pronounce words here
and
there.
Do I need to work on it?
I mean, you pronounce, when we go visit England, you start becoming English again.
Yeah, I just need my mum to call me for an hour and then I'll pick it up again.
Yeah. But I remember when I first met you, you're very English.
Yeah.
Now you're Australian English.
Well, it's been 10 years, right?
Yeah.
I've lived with Australian people. I do work with Australian people, and like especially the hospitality industry. Like I remember I've said it to you before, like when people come up and they want a coffee and you're like, hi, you're right. They're like, yeah, have I spilt it? Like what, you know.
We say, how's it going?
Exactly.
You're right.
Like, hi,
are you right?
I do say, how you doing? Maybe or something, a little bit sort of still... I don't really say how you going. I don't really still say that. I don't think how you going.
How you going? It's one word. How you going?
How you going?
How you going?
Like Australia.
How's it going, mate?
Yeah. Australia. Straya.
It's going up.
But that's why I'm like, hi, you're right. Like that is our version of that, like with one word.
When I go to England, it's just like for the first minute. Hi, you're right. Next question comes from Andy D, who says, who was your dream butt double gig? As in, Who would you want to double for?
Oh, God. Who do I want to play their butt double?
But just imagine your butt looked like their butt. Who would you want to be if you had a butt that looked like them? I'll be DiCaprio. That way I can hang out with him for a day.
Oh, true.
And be cool. Hopefully he's...
Well, my mind went to Jennifer Aniston. But
hopefully some of his coolness rubs off on me.
His coolness. Hey, isn't he like, you know, dad bod, like not cool anymore?
No, why is that not cool?
No, I'm not. Okay, I shouldn't have related his physique to his coolness. But my point being, I thought that he was not the hotshot Leo that he perhaps used to be.
He's the hotshot because dad bod's what chicks want now, babe.
I mean, look,
why do you think I'm going for the dad bod look?
He's still very, very successful and wealthy. So yeah, absolutely. Go spend some time with him, babe.
Also, did you notice Matt LeBlanc's shadow is clearly wearing shorts? Yes, we did notice that, Andy D. Thank you for the question. All right, that is it for the trivia for the one with the butt. Don't forget, guys, if you do have some questions for us, send them in to friendsmailbag@gmail.com. Friendsmailbag@gmail.com. Please do send in a question. We would really appreciate it. And we will answer it on the next show, the next episode. Or should we run through some quick facts that I've got here on the Friends fandom wiki page?
Yeah, do it.
The episode? So this is the first episode where the opening scene does not take place in Central Perk.
Yes, I read that. I think I might have read most of these facts.
Okay. The one about Estelle not being in the episode. Got here. In the uncut DVD version of the episode, it includes the first appearance of June Gable, Joey's agent Estelle.
Oh, yeah, I've written because I've written that.
Yeah. Too. She signs Joey after his performance in Freud and gets him the job as Al Pacino's butt double. There's also an additional scene where the gang are looking at a magic eye book. And Ross is the only one that can't see the Statue of Liberty.
I've seen this scene.
Your Blu-rays must have it.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
An extra tag scene also features Ross, Rachel, Phoebe, Chandler, and Joey singing the song from Joey's play. There you go.
Oh, I'm not sure if I've seen that. Possibly, yeah.
Despite this, the TV versions mention Estelle, yet she is never featured in the episode. Yeah. Maybe we will watch the Blu-rays going forward, just to make sure we get the full...
That might be a good idea,
So we know what we're talking about when it comes to this stuff.
God, half a job dandos.
I know, right? One of the posters on Chandler's bedroom wall is for the film It's a Wonderful Life.
Yep.
And Monica lends Phoebe a copy of it in the one where Old Yeller dies, an attempt to prove that not all films have sad endings.
Yes, yeah, I remember that, yep.
Gillian Fontaine, the actress lying on the couch in Joey's play, appeared in The Real Days of Our Lives. Joey gets a part in the Friends version of it.
Oh, yeah, didn't know that.
Yeah. There's a lot of facts in this episode, but they're interesting. External shots at the start of the episode where Joey's play, it shows that it's meant to be taking place in Cherry Lane Theatre. This is located in Commerce Street, New York, near Washington Square. We did not go there. Was there a Friends tour? I don't think there was a Friends tour, was
no,
there?
Because what was our Seinfeld and When Harry Met Sally together? Wasn't it combined?
Well, no, wasn't it just like a... Oh, was it a combined one? I thought it was just like a random sights around
New York. It was just those...
It was like TV moments or something, TV movie moments. Because they were like, there's the front door of the nanny, remember?
Oh, yeah.
I think it was just a mishmash. I was so excited to see the front door of the nanny.
Yeah.
I was like, The Nanny is one of those shows that no one talks about anymore, but I think it's great. I love The Nanny. It's very simple and cliche and...
Yeah.
It's just good. Same with Third Rock from the Sun. That's another one of my favourite sitcoms. I'll read a couple more facts here, then we'll wrap this up. When the friends enter the apartment after Rachel has cleaned it up, the door of the closet is open and there are clothes hanging in there.
There are. I noticed that. And then in future episodes, the door is closed.
The one with the secret closet.
Let's see what's in there. Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know that episode, but that's apparently the thing. Yeah.
Obviously, no, I noticed the door, but I didn't read that fact.
Obviously, they hadn't really established that. Part of the story yet, yeah. So, by the way, this is the last one we'll read out, and we'll wrap this up. So, the shower scene, which is somewhat different in the TV version. So, in the TV version, as opposed to the DVD, the TV version, there's an added line, damn it, hire the girl, which is in this one, which is completely missing from the DVD, which is why you hadn't heard it before. You'd be watching it on Blu-ray. In the DVD scene, it starts with Joey asking a man if he could warm up the shower.
What, and they said, damn it, hire the girl instead?
No. So... Damn it, hire the girl.
Oh, it's
isn't
separate.
In the DVD version.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
The DVD version, he says, can you warm it up?
Okay.
So it must be what you've always seen.
Yeah, possibly.
I wonder why they change things like that.
It's interesting, isn't it? I've seen some, actually, I follow a couple of friends' fan pages, you know, and they've got lots of snips
facts,
where they, facts, you know, bloopers, and there's some scenes on there that they, and I'm like, I have literally never seen this scene. It's funny, isn't it? And you don't know if it's... Because I think some of them might be other countries as well, so I'm not really sure if things were released differently. True. The language isn't different, but what I mean is, you know, whether or not there was some kind of editing or, you know, whatever. So it's interesting.
This here also, if you want to check it out, friends.fandom.com is where it has all, like, sort of facts about the episode. There's also a section here about goofs. Some people like to hear goofs, like mistakes, some don't. I'm not going to read them out because I don't... For me...
Read one or two. Go on. Let's have a look. I'll see what you mean by goof.
When Joey's in the shower, this is the shorts. We discussed this one. Yeah. When filming the shower scene, behind the director is a box which says Monica's apartment. Yeah. It's his apartment, all apparently. Right, yeah. Okay, yeah. Chandler's bedroom in this episode is much bigger than the bedroom we will see in later episodes.
Yeah.
Oh, was that his? Okay, so that's his bedroom.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense, yeah. Ross and Rachel are sitting next to each other facing Monica, and Ross says, "You are mum." Joey then enters the apartment, and Ross has a drink in his hand and is standing behind the sofa. There wasn't time for Ross to move from Rachel's side across the apartment and get a drink from the fridge.
Oh, yeah, I didn't notice that.
I don't know,
if you're really picking.
My problem is when I watch the episodes now, I look for the mistakes once I know they're there.
It's funny because I don't. So many of these things go by me. I'm not looking for them. But I think because I'm not watching this like an avid viewer watching it for the critiquing first time, it is my bread and butter. So it's on in the background. It's my... like you say, my comfort food. So at the end of the day, I'm not watching it, you know, frame by frame going, oh, hang on a moment, that doesn't look like blah, blah, blah. There might be an odd thing I do notice for sure, but it's not something that, I'm looking for.
Here's a good one. When Monica complains about the green ottoman being moved, the reflection of the sofa in the TV shows that nobody's actually sitting on it. So she obviously filmed that.
Really?
With no one in the room.
Wow. Oh, I'd like to watch that back. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, there's a few other goofs you can just find at friends.fandom.com. But this has been our review of the one with the butt. Next week is the one with the blackout.
Oh, yeah, it's a good one.
You say that every time?
Sorry, yeah.
The thing is, though, that's fine because you love Friends.
Yeah.
And everyone listening to the show hopefully loves Friends as well. I think doing this show has made me appreciate Friends more. Watching it with you, I enjoyed.
Yeah.
Because seeing you enjoy it made me enjoy it more.
Oh, you're so nice.
Don't forget, guys, if you do enjoy the show and you want to show some support and get early access, so you can be listening to this. We do this every second week, but this episode has already been on our Patreon for 2 weeks if you listen to this on the free feed. So you can get early access to the show, be 2 weeks ahead, by going to patreon.com/4fingerdiscount. 4fingerdiscount is the network where all of our shows exist. 4fingerdiscount was the first show we ever did, the podcast. I do it with my friend Guy Davis, myself. Nicola does the Friends show with me, but I do a South Park, Seinfeld, Simpsons, as well as a Futurama podcast with Guy, and they're all available on our Patreon page for early access. But the Futurama podcast that we do here is only available on Patreon. We also do movie reviews, commentaries, and much, much more. You also get access to our 4fingerdiscount Facebook group, where Nicola, myself, and Guy, and all the other people we're having on 4fingerdiscount are in there as well, so you can have daily banter with us. If you want to send us a quick message or ask us a question, you can do it in the group. You also get monthly Zoom chats with us and prize draws and much, much more. Just go to patreon.com/4fingerdiscount for as little as $1 per month. All right, guys, this has been the one with the butt. Next week is the one with the blackout. Thank you so much for listening to the show, and we'll catch you guys in the next episode. See you later.
Thanks, guys. Bye.